Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Of course, you can find us here in the Pack-A-Day Podcast 365 days a year, wherever you get your favorite podcasts or on YouTube. Appreciate you guys checking out the show today. If you're new, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. If you haven't checked out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships, today is legitimately a great day to do so. Number one, we've got a members-only Q&A coming up at noon today. Also, you can now join the Pack-A-Day Podcast Pro Pick'em League over on our YouTube page. You can go over there. If you're a member, you're going to see it and you're able to log in and get involved. And there's going to be some huge prizes, or at least a huge prize for the winner on that as well. So become a member and make sure to check those things out. Also, shout out, by the way, to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, No Hate 23, Jay Bull, AJ Wisco, Matt Walter, and your barber. All right, let's get into it. The cutdowns are officially done, at least yesterday's, right? Now we have another day where we're probably going to get some transactions. We'll talk about that in just a moment as well. But we're going to go kind of position by position and break down exactly what happened, what was interesting about it, maybe what wasn't interesting, and what we can kind of expect from here. It was a very interesting day, to say the least. I'll go over kind of all my news and notes. And yes, we'll talk about what players they could potentially pick up off of waivers. We'll talk about which players they should have interest in on the practice squad. And yes, I will be talking as well about all the crazy rumors, rumblings, etc., surrounding Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers. Maybe you live in a future where Micah Parsons is already a Green Bay Packer. You probably live in a future where they were second in line and he's a Minnesota Viking, or he's re-signed with Dallas already, or whatever the case may be. But maybe, just maybe, you're in one of those multiverses where Micah Parsons is the newest member of the Green Bay Packers. We'll discuss that as well. But let's get into roster cuts first. Those are real. Those are tangible, and they're worth touching base on. This is, again, one of the more interesting days of the year when that initial 53-man roster is set. At quarterback, no surprises here whatsoever. Jordan Love, Malik Willis, your only two quarterbacks. They released Sean Clifford and Taylor Algersma. Now the question remains, who will that quarterback be on the practice squad? We'll talk about that in our practice squad segment coming up in just a moment. Three running backs on the active roster: Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks, with Marshawn Lloyd designated to return. This is what everyone expected. It does mean that Marshawn Lloyd is out for the first 4 weeks of the season. He will be eligible to come back after that. It works out sort of well for all these IR designated to return and PUP players that their first 4 weeks they are out, and then week five is a bye week. So in general, not a great bye week to have for a team, but it does kind of work out in their favor where they miss those first 4 weeks and then they're not forced to play right away in week five. They even get an additional week after that to get that time off, and it would be week six for their fifth game when they would ultimately come back. But Marshawn Lloyd will miss those first four games of the regular season. But Jacobs, Wilson, Brooks on the active roster, Israel Abanaconda, Amar Johnson, Tyrion Davis, Price, all released. Again, no surprises there whatsoever. And now we'll wait and see if they bring any of these running backs back on the practice squad. Wide receiver, they kept six. This once again was pretty much chalk, mostly what was expected. Romeo Dobbs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Matthew Golden, Malik Heath, and Savion Williams, your wide receivers. Malik Heath does make it for a third consecutive season on the 53-man roster. Christian Watson is on the physically unable to perform list. He will miss also those first four games of the season. Could be back by week six for, again, their fifth game. Players that were released include Mecole Hardman, Julian Hicks, Cornelius Johnson, Will Shepard, and Isaiah Nair. And yes, you can very much expect that they're going to try to get two or three of those wide receivers back to the practice squad. I don't think it's going to be Mecole Hardman. He might have some interest elsewhere. Also, I think they're going to probably just go a little bit younger there. It's not impossible, though. They could have some interest there. But Julian Hicks, Cornelius Johnson, even Will Shepard, Isaiah Neyor easily could be in that conversation for potential practice squad spots. But no real surprises at wide receiver. There were, I know, some that were thinking Mecole Hardman was just going to flat out make it because of the punt return ability. That did not come to fruition. He does not make that initial 53-man roster. Tight ends, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, John Fitzpatrick, Ben Sims, shout out Justice Mosqueda. He was on it all along with the four tight ends and specifically with Ben Sims making it. Messiah Swinson and Johnny Lumpkin were released. I am interested to see there were some really interesting tight ends that were released. We're going to talk about some of those momentarily. Could they trade out a Ben Sims for one of those other tight ends that maybe they could get off of waivers? That could be an interesting discussion point here. But Kraft, Musgrave, Fitzpatrick, Sims, the four on the initial 53, and then Swinson and Lumpkin again released. Offensive line, Jacob Monk goes on IR designated to return. So he was the other one. We talked about the potential of Monk. We talked about Baron Sorrell. We talked about Zane Anderson, amongst others. It was Jacob Monk who ultimately got that IR designated to return. He will be, again, out the first 4 weeks of the season. With Monk not being able to be on the active roster, they needed one more offensive lineman. They had eight, remember? Jenkins, Banks, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, and Darian Kennard. Those were the clear and obvious eight. Who is going to be the ninth? You really probably wanted to go into the season with that ninth offensive lineman. The nod goes to Donovan Jennings. I thought after a very poor preseason that they were probably just going to move on. Had Jacob Monk been healthy, they probably would have, but Monk is not healthy. Had Travis Glover been healthy, they probably would have, but Travis Glover is not healthy. So Donovan Jennings gets to stick on the 53 for now. And John Williams on the physically unable to perform list. And players who were released include Kadeem Telfort, Trey Hill, Lasita Smith, Tyler Cooper, JJ Lippy, and Brant Banks. You can expect a few of those at minimum to likely be back on the Packers practice squad. All right, let's jump to the defensive side of the ball. We'll start with defensive end. Rashawn Gary, LVN, Kingsley Enagbare, Brenton Cox, and Baron Sorrell all make the active 53. Colin Oliver goes on the physically unable to perform list, or I should say stays there, again, out for the first 4 weeks of the season. They release Aaron Mosby and Deslon Alexander. We're going to talk a little bit more about Mosby momentarily. Deslon Alexander will likely be a priority for their practice squad. The good news here for now, Baron Sorrell does not need to be, or at least was not placed on an IR designated to return. And then I think everything else, again, was very much expected with Gary Van Ness and Enagbare and Brenton Cox for the time being. Looks like a very solid rotation of five players. Notably here, though, Aaron Mosby, Deslon Alexander, two of the players that are expected to be, or at least were expected to be, more of their specialists, their special teams players. They released both of those. That was a trend a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. But for now, five defensive ends, Gary Van Ness, Enagbare, Cox, and Baron Sorrell. They did, in fact, keep six defensive tackles. Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Warren Brinson, and yes, everyone's favorite, Nasir Stackhouse. Stackhouse gets kept basically on upside. I thought he struggled in the preseason. I thought at times in camp, he looked really sharp. I said about, what, 5-6 days in, if you remember, I'm like, I think I've seen enough. I think he's good enough to make the 53 just based off of upside already. And then as time went on, it kind of faded a little bit and I became less sure. And certainly again, in preseason, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more, but there is no doubting the flashes from Nasir Stackhouse. He showed that he can hold up at the point of attack. He showed that he can be a big time run defender and even has a little bit to give as a pass rusher as well. They don't have the 330 pounder at defensive tackle on this team if they don't have Nasir Stackhouse. I think he adds something different. I think he adds something unique, and that makes sense. I will say this, 330 does not stop the run in and of itself. You have to be able to play with pad level. You have to be able to anchor. You have to be able to hold up at the point of attack consistently. In preseason and in training camp, despite being 330, he was getting knocked off the ball way too often. That's going to be a consistency with his game that he has to improve and become a lot more reliable with. If not, it's going to be difficult for him, more in that Jonathan Ford category rather than that TJ Slayton category. But for now, he makes the 53. I do like the upside there. I do like the different flavor of defensive tackle that they keep on the team. And for that reason, I think it does make sense. And we'll see how they utilize those six defensive tackles throughout the course of the season. James Esther and Devontae O'Malley both released. Four linebackers. This is where sort of the interesting conversations really start to begin. Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper. I had six. My projection was six linebackers were going to make it. Green Bay's like, nah, we're good with four. I think that's going to change. And again, we're going to talk about that momentarily. But Christian Welch, Isaiah Simmons, Jamon Johnson, and Jared Bartlett all released. A slight bit of good news here on an aside. Jared Bartlett had been injured and been working off to the side. Released, apparently not released injured or waived injured. If that's the case, they save themselves some injury settlement money and some salary cap there if he is in fact not waived injured. So a slight side note of good news there. But Welch and Simmons, they're two special teams players, both released. Now, both of them are vested veterans and do not hit waivers. That's going to be important as we get to some potential moves that could be happening today that maybe change the calculus up of how many linebackers they actually have on the roster. But for now, Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper on the active, Welch, Simmons, Jamin Johnson, and Jared Bartlett all released. That was one of the more interesting aspects of the day. Isaiah Simmons, we found out pretty early. Not surprising, but also was noteworthy after being the primary gunner and getting so much time with the ones. I know he struggled on defense. You know he struggled on defense. It was ugly, but the special teams was good. I thought that would get him there. He was a little bit better in that final preseason game on defense. I thought there could be a couple things that they could bake in for him in the defense, even if you couldn't use him in any real capacity, but it clearly wasn't enough for Green Bay. And probably the biggest I don't want to call him a loser, but the biggest just drop-off, I would say, through the course of training camp and preseason, where he looked at one point like he was going to have a legitimate role in the defense and be a no-doubter core special teamer. And now to not being on the roster at all, it was a pretty big fall from grace for Isaiah Simmons from date of signing till now, where he's no longer on the roster. Let's get to corner. Nate Hobbs, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Bo Melton, Kamal Haddon, and Micah Robinson all make the 53. Kalen King, Corey Ballantyne, Tyron Herring all released. There's a lot to get into here. The first is Bo Melton. I know we talked about it the other day because this was expected by this point, but it cannot be underscored. It cannot be understated. Bo Melton making the 53 as a cornerback after transitioning to the position in mini camp in June, like 2 months ago. This guy went through a complete crash course in how to play corner at the NFL level and made it arguably and seemingly as the number four corner on this team. Behind only Hobbs, Nixon, Valentine, I guess probably Javon Bullard to some extent as well. But that's remarkable. You make that change to usually out of desperation of like, hey, your time as a wide receiver is running out. There's no longer any upside for you there. You need to change and move to something different, or your career's, it's just going to fall apart sooner rather than later. We think you can maybe make yourself into a corner. Like, let's give it a shot. And it's like, sure, all right, well, we'll try it. And it makes sense because there's all these wide receivers on the roster. Corner's the thinnest position on the roster. All right, maybe I've got a shot there. You are changing positions at the NFL level. It'd be one thing, by the way, if Melton, like his first couple years in college were like a corner and then he played wide receiver, if he did double duty in some extent in college. No, he hasn't played corner since high school. And now in his, third or fourth year in the NFL, he's just like, yeah, I'm going to actually just be a corner now. And it works. It's stupid in all the best ways. It's ridiculous. I cannot believe that he just went out and owned it and did it. Moved a corner, looked really good doing it, and now is a legitimate NFL corner on a roster, on a 53 roster, not in an experimental phase, not in a corner wide receiver slash type of role, not just here because he's a special teams ace. No, he earned it as a corner. If he had no wide receiver ability, if he had no special teams ability, he would still be here, in my opinion, as a corner, which is, again, crazy to say. And the potential of what he could give you on a game day roster where he could potentially be your number five wide receiver if you ever needed to get into a game, or just an emergency wide receiver for a game. He's going to give you everything on special teams, field goal block, kick return, punt return, kick coverage, punt coverage. He can do all of it and is really good at it. And potentially somebody that's actually getting real legitimate snaps on defense at some point. There's so much value in that. So kudos to Bo Melton for making that happen, making it work. It's really an incredible story. Again, it can't be understated, and it's a really impressive feat for him to be able to tackle this and actually make it as an NFL corner. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already done. College football is already here, and the football season is right around the corner, and you are not going to want to miss any action this year on Prize Picks. Now, I could not be more excited about this upcoming football season, and not only should it be epic for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. Now, as a fan of Green Bay, I get to cheer on my team every week, but there's a bunch of players I don't get to cheer on being a fan of just Green Bay. But with Prize Picks, I get to cheer on some of my other favorite players, players like Brian Thomas Jr., Ashton Jeanty, Devontae Adams. And because of that, it brings a whole different level of fun to the football season. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let me break it down for you super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to use. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports, and there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Kamal Haddon and Micah Robinson, the other two. I hate myself because I was on these two the entire time. I've kind of told you guys, and I don't mean to be like hater number one here on Kalen King. I thought he had a really great last preseason game, and that's why I finally put him on the 53, took Micah Robinson off. Micah Robinson did not do much in that final preseason game, and Kalen King did a lot. He looked really impressive in that performance that finally got me to switch it. Outside of that, I've just felt like Micah Robinson and Kamal Haddon have been the two next best corners. Haddon, I felt very strongly about pretty much all along. He had that really abysmal, Indianapolis game. He probably came back from the injury a little bit too early. But outside of that, he's been the better corner of any of these guys in training camp pretty much all OTA mini camp, training camp long. And I thought went out and had a really great final preseason game as well to kind of cement his spot on the team. That's exactly what happened. He is the number five corner. And then Micah Robinson, I know a lot of people, Kalen King stands. That's cool. Like, go do your thing. And hopefully he gets back on the practice squad. I want him back on the practice squad too. I think if you can get him to a point where you can call him up if need be, that's a great spot for Green Bay to be in. If I'm Kalen King, I was a 7th round pick by Green Bay, and you cut me 2 years in a row, I'm probably just saying, like, I'm sorry, guys, I got to go try somewhere else. Like, I've given you what I can give you for 2 straight years, and you still, you know, wanted to put a wide receiver turned corner and a 7th round pick this year, and a guy that you picked up off of waiver, or not even just waivers, off the street to move to your practice squad. You picked those guys in front of me. I'm sorry, but I'm going to go somewhere else. I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope he's back. But the thing with King is, there's limited athleticism, there's limited special teams value, and he's primarily a slot only. He's not really an outside corner at all. He doesn't have safety versatility. So you're talking about a backup slot corner who doesn't have ideal traits. As fun as he had been at times with making some fun plays, being able to blitz the run defense we saw this past week, in totality, there's just not a ton of value in that type of player. It's the antithesis of Bo Melton, where Bo Melton gives you everything. Kalen King is like, I'm a backup slot. All right. Well, Keyshawn Nixon can play the slot. Nate Hobbs can play the slot. Javon Bullard can play the slot. Like, they've done a little bit of Valentine there. I think Melton can play the slot. Probably Evan Williams can play the slot. Like, there's a lot of players who can do that. They don't really need a designated backup slot player in Kalen King that, again, doesn't give you a ton on teams, isn't a high-end upside guy. So at some point, like, just what's his value on the actual 53? And I think Green Bay probably recognized that. Now, you might say, well, all right, well, What does Micah Robinson give you? He's not a huge core special teamer. He's not somebody that is going to probably be in the rotation at all at corner. So why Micah Robinson? Here's the thing. Micah Robinson, what he is an outside corner. And outside corners just inherently have a bit more value than slot corners in the NFL. I also think he is a much better athlete. He's much faster. I know that much. And he does look the part of an NFL corner. In general, I liked Micah Robinson and how he covered in camp and in preseason. Some things that he needs to clean up a little bit. But if you would just ask me, pure scouting profile, right? Not only just that, but like watching them on the field with like a scout's eye, Micah Robinson or Kalen King, which one do you want to develop? It's Micah Robinson all day, every day. So I think that's ultimately where Green Bay lands here. I had Haddon and King on my final prediction. I can understand why some people wanted him on the team. Micah Robinson to me still makes a lot of sense over Kalen King even. And I think if you can get Kalen King back in the practice squad, that would even be a bonus. Corey Ballantyne, the other interesting story here, and the fact that he doesn't make it back. He would have been a vested veteran, and that would have made it a guaranteed contract for the whole season if he's on the roster for week one. That probably played a little bit of a part here as well. But again, somebody who's primarily been in the slot the last 2 years, he does at least give you special teams value, but couldn't make it, I think, all the way back to where he was a couple years ago. I would love him back in the practice squad. I think he has so much value as a practice squad player, and hopefully Green Bay is able to get both of those corners back. All right, as far as safety goes, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Zane Anderson, Kitano Adapo on the active, Zane Anderson not on IR or IR designated to return. So five safeties there. Omar Brown gets put on injured reserve, not designated to return. That means Omar Brown is done for the season. If he is healthy at some point, Green Bay will have to release him, and he will get released with an injury settlement at that point in time. And then he's able to become a free agent and sign with another team. They also released Jonathan Baldwin and Jalen Simpson. The Zane Anderson one is, I think, the one of interest there, where he is on the active 53 for now. More on that again momentarily. Specialist Brandon McManus, Daniel Whelan, Matt Orzek. They released Mark McNamee, and we'll see if he's back as the International Pathway Program player. So those are your roster moves for Green Bay, position by position, who they kept, who they cut, who they put on injured list, etc. There are, I think, and this is where we get into some potential roster moves for Green Bay. If I had to guess, I think we're going to see a couple of these players coming back. If you remember, and just a quick crash course for you here, you can only IR designate to return two players on cutdown day, only two. So it's basically like a 55-man roster, 53 guys plus two guys that you can add to injured reserve that you can bring back as soon as week five. You can, however, keep players on your active 53, and then the next day put two players, or as many, I shouldn't say two, as many as you want on injured reserve. You can bring up to eight players back from injured reserve through the course of the season. Yes, Jacob Monk and Marshawn Lloyd will count towards two of those eight no matter what, even if for some reason they don't come back or you don't want them anymore because you did it on cutdown day. Those are two of your eight. They have six left. The nice thing here is if they put Zane Anderson and Baron Sorrell, all right, if those are the two, which I think they could be, that get placed on injured reserve on Wednesday, you can call them back, but you don't have to. The hope, I think, is both of them are back, but you don't have to. You're not designating them to return. You're putting them on injured reserve, and you have the ability to use one of those remaining six callbacks or return from injured reserve spots in the future. But again, you don't have to if you don't want to. So those are two players that they will, I think, probably consider putting on IR that they could return at some point down the road. And if they do something like that, I would keep a very strong eye on Aaron Mosby and Christian Welch to return to the roster. If it's Sorrell, I would very much expect Mosby to be a piece of it. And if it's Zane Anderson or just anybody, I would expect them to get a fifth linebacker. I do not think they're going to go into the season with just four linebackers. It could be Isaiah Simmons, but my belief is that it'll be Christian Welch. I think they're moving on from Simmons. With Welch, it did seem like maybe they wanted to keep him. They just couldn't make the math work. But I'll say it one more time. Christian Welch is a vested veteran, which means he does not go on waivers, which means that he is a true free agent, a street free agent, and he can sign with anybody that he wants, including Green Bay, the day after, without having to go through the waiver process where some team picks him up. So if they might have a wink, wink, nod, nod, handshake deal of like, hey, we're releasing you and we're going to have to do some roster gymnastics. We're going to put a couple of guys on IR and then we're immediately signing you back. And then maybe they give him a little incentive or a little bit of a signing bonus involved with that just to kind of, you know, keep his bed, you know, made in Green Bay and not start packing his stuff. I would assume that Welch for sure, I shouldn't say for sure, but I assume there's a very good chance that Christian Welch is back in Green Bay. And I would think Aaron Mosby has a chance too. It could be a Savion Williams, by the way, that maybe goes on IR designated to return. There could be some other injured players that have that capability as well. But if I had to guess very aggressively, I would say Green Bay is not done with maybe some of their IR designations. And I think Christian Welch has a real strong chance to be back on this team. Those are not the only players, by the way, that I have maybe some level of interest in bringing to Green Bay. There were clearly a crap ton of players who were released from their contracts over the last 24 hours plus. And there were some ones that stood out to me as possibilities for Green Bay. Clayton Tune is a quarterback that Arizona released. Green Bay reportedly had a ton of interest in him when they drafted Sean Clifford. Tune goes a handful of picks beforehand, then a bunch of other quarterbacks go, and Green Bay basically got, I think, kind of handcuffed into taking Sean Clifford, kind of probably their last gradable quarterback. And that didn't work out great, but they really liked Clayton Tune at the time. There's already some buzz out there that if Clayton Tune clears waivers, that Green Bay has interest and wants to bring him on the practice squad. I think he, along with some of the other quarterbacks that got released, have much higher, not only upsides than maybe Elgersma and Clifford, but also bring more to the table right now where they might actually be able to go in and play in an emergency situation if something were to come up and not be a complete, you know, just at a complete loss where it's just like, well, this game's over no matter what. Tune's a talented thrower. He'd be a really nice pickup on the practice squad. Not claiming him, you know, to the 53, but if you can find a way to get him to the practice squad, that'd be a big win for Green Bay. Some other players that I would consider claiming, Essa Pohl is a offensive lineman for Kansas City who was a undrafted free agent, has all the upside and talent in the world, played really well in preseason for KC. They didn't keep him around, which was kind of surprising based on how he played. I think a lot of people just expected him to make the team in KC. He didn't. I think he's going to have potential suitors. If I were Green Bay, it's a no-brainer. I think the upside difference and even just the better player right now over Donovan Jennings is Essa Pohl. I would absolutely put in a claim for him and move on from Donovan Jennings in that scenario if I could get him. Josh Wiley and Jelani Woods and Greg Dulcich are three tight ends that I think would be upgrades from Ben Sims. And you could put in claims on any of the three, all of the three, et cetera. And if you could get one of those three players and move on from Ben Sims, I think you're upgrading your roster specifically at tight end. And I think all three of those players have better playmaking skills right now. I think all three of them could help on special teams. I think all three of them could serve in the role that you're looking for in a number four tight end in Green Bay. So again, Josh Wiley, Jelani Woods, and Greg Dulcich, all in that category. Jalen Amor Davis, a Baltimore Raven, and Juju Brents, two corners, height, weight, speed, everything that Green Bay looks for. It's not impossible that they look at Micah Robinson and say, yeah, we had a draftable grade on him, so we kept him around. But with Amor Davis or especially Juju Brents, who was a second round pick, they may have had higher grades on either of those guys. And certainly both of them are tremendously talented corners. Didn't really work out with Brents in Indy. I was a little bit surprised that Baltimore released Amor Davis. I think he's going to have a ton of suitors. Both of them, again, high-end athletes. We know Green Bay loves it. Keep an eye on those corners for potential replacements, either for Micah Robinson or again, maybe Haddon as well. But I think there could be some potential upgrades there. Chad Muma, a linebacker from Jacksonville. Maybe their idea was to keep Welch, but if maybe they can get a little bit younger with Muma, who also has special teams value and I think is just a better linebacker, they could maybe go in that direction as well. And then the other one I want to bring up is James Prochet. James Prochet, he's bounced around the league a little bit. He's, I want to say like 5'11", like 196, somewhere in that range. So he's not too far out of like the 200-pound wide receiver range for Green Bay, but he is a legitimately good punt returner, has incredible hands. And if I'm given the choice, if I'm Matt, Rich Bisaccia, Goody, et cetera, between Prochet and Malik Heath, it's a no-brainer. not only is Prochet to me the better true wide receiver, Prochet gives you a finally legitimate punt returner that you can put back there and trust and actually have some things happen as well. He's not the most dynamic. He's not going to break a ton of punts for touchdowns, but he's very sure-handed and he gets what's there without doing too much dancing, gets upfield and makes some solid plays. So to me, that would be another one to keep an eye on. So Clayton Tune, Esa Poll, Josh Wiley, Jalen Amore Davis, Juju Brents, Jelani Woods, Greg Dulcich, Chad Muma, James Prochet, all players that I would potentially keep an eye on. We'll be right back. Hey friends, not to get too sentimental on you here, but Labor Day is always an extra special weekend for me as it gives me a chance to hang out and relax with my family right before the madness of football season. The weekend with the kids, throwing the football in the backyard, grilling up dinner, it means even more to me now that my kids are getting older. That's why this year I didn't mess around and I ordered some steaks directly from Omaha Steaks. They're amazingly tender, juicy steaks for this upcoming weekend that I'm legitimately thinking about already. Now, I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having their Labor Day sale, so you can get 50% off site wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code Packaday at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code Packaday and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. It is unbelievable. So get fired up for fall and get fired up for grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Labor Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. What are you waiting for? Some interesting notes from Cutdown Day. First of all, we kind of failed to mention and just buried the lead. Matt Orzech, congratulations to him. He gets a 3-year contract extension. Good deal for Green Bay. Matt Orzech gets some job security as well. I think that was a win all around. I predicted that the next extension for Green Bay was going to be a specialist. I thought it was going to be Daniel Whelan. They go Matt Orzech. I could see Whelan getting a contract here in the near future as well and keep those three around in McManus and Whelan and Orzech. But kudos to Matt Orzech for getting that contract extension. Well-deserved, well-earned. When he first came in, it felt a little bit shaky last year and so far preseason training camp this year. He's looked really, really good. I think he's in for, you know, as good of a season as you can have as a long snapper. I think he's in for it. And I think he's been key and integral into what Daniel Whelan and Brandon McManus are doing as well. So congratulations to him on that. Also, Nazir Stackhouse, if he makes it to week one, he will have been the 21st consecutive year player. That's a weird way to say it, but you get what I'm saying. For 21 consecutive years, a undrafted free agent rookie has made the 53-man roster on opening week. Now, we're not there yet. So just like last year, there was no undrafted free agent for Green Bay on the initial 53, but Braden Narveson was immediately claimed and Narveson was on the roster for week one. It also happened with Chris Barnes when they released him and brought him back for week one. You have to be on the 53 on week one. So Nazir Stackhouse has not cleared that bar yet, but he is on pace to become a undrafted free agent rookie who makes the team for the 21st consecutive year, which is a pretty amazing streak. And it seems like that will be kept alive for another season. And then last but not least, vested veterans, guys like Isaiah Simmons and Mecole Hardman and Christian Welch, those type of players, none of them that were like on the fringes of being kept or not, none of them got kept. Not a single one. So it just goes to show you teams are hesitant to guarantee those contracts. So vested veterans, if you don't know, if you make the roster week one, you get your contract guaranteed for the entire year. And Green Bay was not willing to do that with any of their fringe players, at least as of yet. Again, if Christian Welch gets signed today as you're listening to this and he is on the roster for week one, he will become a vested veteran and he will get that full season guaranteed. But for now, it does take a little bit more if you're in that situation to make that 53 because you're going to get that full contract guaranteed. Green Bay decided not to go in that direction as of yet. I'm sure the bigger thing is just that they didn't specifically earn it. If they would have, I'm sure Green Bay would have been fine with it. But it does take just a little bit more to clear that barrier and for a team to say, yep, we're going to guarantee your contract for the entire season. Last but not least, a couple things. Practice squad. If I had to build a practice squad based on players that were released from Green Bay, well, first of all, I'm going to add a quarterback. If you can get Clayton Tune, that's awesome. Amar Johnson, Israel Abanaconda, Julian Hicks, Cornelius Johnson, Isaiah Nayer, Tyler Cooper, Brant Banks, Lasita Smith, Deslin Alexander, Aaron Mosby, Christian Welch, Jamon Johnson, Kalen King, Corey Ballantyne, Jonathan Baldwin, and then your international pathway program player, whoever you want to go with there. I'm not sure they need to get McNamee back. Maybe they go with Alex Hale if he's back healthy or in a different direction, but quarterback, international pathway player, and then try to get as many of those core players back as you can that were already on the roster. I think there's some fun young players there with upside and a couple guys like Corey Ballantyne, Aaron Mosby, Christian Welch, if they don't get back on the 53 that you're hoping, fingers crossed, are going to get back to the practice squad. All right, that does it for cutdowns. I will now discuss the Micah Parsons situation. So for those of you who have been under a rock or just not on social media, there's been a lot going on with Micah Parsons, and it's all for the most part been in fringes. It's not been necessarily on any like Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter type stuff, right? Although Ian Rappaport did say a while back on McAfee that Green Bay would be the type of team that would make a move for Micah Parsons, things like that. But we had Ricky again, the anonymous dog account who has had some stuff right again as of late in the NFL. He's saying that there is an offer out there for Micah Parsons and Green Bay, that the contract and stuff is done. There's some bizarro Reddit stuff that's out there. John Kuhn is tweeting Micah freaking Parsons, probably just, I don't want to say the word necessarily trolling, but just, throwing some things out there to cause some chaos would be my comment. Maybe he knows something too. Like, I'll say this. I tweeted out that I heard from numerous people or multiple people, whatever it was. I think I said multiple, that there was legitimate, there like some form of actual buzz here. Here's what I will tell you. I know nothing personally. I don't have connections. I don't have relationships with agents. I don't know Micah Parsons' barber. I don't know anybody. I just basically know that I'm in my basement the vast majority of the time, and I know nobody, okay? So I have no source. I broke one thing in my entire life. I broke that Dom Capers was going to get fired. I tweeted that out. I was the first to have it. That is the first time and probably only time I will ever break any Packers news ever. So I'm not going to be your guy. I know nothing. And because of that, it's very rare that things come to me or that I see things that make me go, huh, interesting. Here's what I will tell you. I had two football people reach out and say, there's something here. I had two fringe-ish, kind of, I don't even know how I want to say it. They're a little bit more on the fringes, reach out and say something very specific. I'll get to that more in just a second. Then I had like three just totally random people that had stuff that I'll just say that was interesting in and of itself. All right. None of this do I, and in any way, shape, or form, do I, I'm extremely skeptical of all of it. Okay. Like extremely, extremely skeptical of any and all of it. What I will tell you is I don't believe any of these people that I talked to were getting their stuff from the same people. They are not in the same circles and they're all in very different walks of life. And the story from every single one of them was almost or nearly or exactly identical, like to a T, to a very interesting T. So that's all I have is that for me, it's weird that I even have like one person reach out and say like, hey, I think there might be something here. Like I don't get that. I don't have that. I don't have those connections. For there to be like multiple people on multiple levels in different stratospheres of different stuff that all had a very similar story, it was interesting. And again, basically the story is something to the extent of that the Packers have a offer out there to Dallas, that there is a contract set basically with Micah Parsons, that there is allegedly agreed upon terms, and it's now up to just basically Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons to sign off on stuff. I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine. I am not trying to lead you in a certain direction. I tweeted out, you guys know my famous 0.01% for Jair Alexander, which ended up, you know, he didn't end up on the team, right? I said, I think there's a 0.01% chance he comes back to Green Bay. It ended up being a 0.0% chance. He is now a Baltimore Raven. I'm personally at about 5%. You might be listening to this. He might be a Green Bay Packer. You might be listening to this. It might already be done and over with, and he's nowhere near a Green Bay Packer. I don't know. As after hearing this stuff and seeing some of the random stuff that has been online, there does legitimately seem to be some smoke around there. Whether there's fire and whether that fire actually gets to the point of a completed handshake deal between Green Bay and Dallas, I am still very much like the majority of you in that I will believe it when I see it. But the interesting aspect was a lot of different people reaching out to me with a very similar type of story. And it made it very convincing to some extent, even if I am insanely skeptical of just about all of it, right? So that's where I'm at. I don't know. You don't know. We don't. You might know because you're in the future, but I don't know as of right now. It'd be really fun. Yes, sign me up. I would do it. Just go for it. You know what? I think there are certain players at certain times where it's just worth the gamble and you got to take the risk. And it might be Dame Lillard all over again, meaning it looks awesome and everyone's excited and it's the coolest thing that ever happened. Dame Lillard is a Buck and it just doesn't work out, whether due to chemistry, whether due to injuries, whatever the case may be, it just doesn't work out and it sucks and you have to pivot. That might be the same thing if Green Bay acquires Micah Parsons. It might look like the coolest thing ever on paper and it might just fail spectacularly, but he's just that level of player where I think you have to do it and then figure out the rest later. And that's where I'm kind of at with it. Sign me up. I hope it gets done. I'm not holding my breath still. I'm going to put it at a solid 5% overall. That's all I got for you today. Appreciate you guys being here. Support the channel if you can. No monetary, anything needed. If you want to sign up to be a member, awesome. Just like, subscribe, comment, tell a friend about the podcast. That'd be amazing. Appreciate the support. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, and John D. Metropolis. I'll see you guys noon for members Q&A, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.